Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Sunday is not the day to relax.
Brent.
Yep, trying to talk.
Yep, sorry.
Because Triple M footy finishes the weekend with a bang.
You are a genius, Dave.
No, I couldn't agree more with you there, Joey.
This is the Sunday Rub.
This is going to be an absolute belter.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, that's right. For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy. Welcome to the Sunday Rub, where it promises to be an interesting hour and a half ahead. We've had a massive round of footy over there at Gather Round. And well, fair to say the boys have enjoyed themselves on and off the pitch, I think. We're going to speak to Dale Thomas in 1 second, but he looks like he's in magnificent form and some huge results yesterday, of course. The first couple of games were thrashings, let's be honest, but Geelong by 4 points over the Western Bulldogs last night and Carlton by 10 over Fremantle. It was a controversial finish. We'll get to that in a second. Also, some news kicking around. Jeremy Finlayson, an ugly incident. And Sammy Walsh will have
shut
an
up, Jay-Z. Just get to the talent. Daisy Thomas here, live from the studios of Adelaide. We've got Lee Montagna, and of course, off the bench today. Don't worry about Stevie Johnson, the man taking Triple M by storm. Isaac Smith, Isaac, welcome. Welcome to the Sunday Rub.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Daisy. It's great to be here. And I second what you said about Jay-Z.
It was a Dennis Lilly run-up, wasn't it, fair to say? I want to start with, did we have the best team on a Sunday, starting early today because we've got so much to get to. It is Lee Montagna, Isaac Smith stepping in for Steve Johnson, and Dale Thomas, it's fair to say, looks like he's got the 3 votes from the gather round so far. How are you, Daisy? You had a big night on Wednesday, and fair to say last night you kicked on. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it is. I've been working really hard, Jay-Z, and then last night was sort of, yesterday afternoon was the last of my official duties apart from this. So I came along, I watched some of the footy and the Blues, and then went out for a lovely dinner with Natasha, and then met up with the rest of the Triple M rat bags and punched on at the casino until about 3 a.m.
Speaking of punching, I woke up
with a chip in my pocket too. Got 100 clams.
Very good. We've got to get to your fight with Dane Swan in a second and just recap that. But Isaac Smith, he's new to the media game, been outstanding on Triple M so far this year. Now, Gather Round feels like it's a bit of a strut off when it comes to the media stakes, Isaac. You sort of look around, lots of big media personalities with big chests and egos, etc. Who have you noticed so far who's really sort of been enjoying their own work the most in Gather Round?
Oh, there's been a few. There's some egos here. Not sure. I saw BT swanning himself around yesterday. He's the mayor of Adelaide this week, I think. So
he's the mayor of Bespoke Bar at the Adelaide Oval. At the hotel. He just drops the anchor there.
It's a nice little bar.
It is good.
Plenty floating around, Jay. There's been plenty happening. It's one of those ones. You're either in the two camps. You're either someone who tries to avoid seeing everyone at these sort of weeks and just goes about, or you're one that likes to strut around and catch up with everyone and be front and square. So we've had a mixed bag.
Did you get in trouble last year or something at Gather Round? Because I came in on the Sunday and you weren't as fresh as I was. And then last night you did not have a single beer.
Did not have a beer last night. No, too much work, Daisy. I've got first crack tonight. So I need to get to work. Plus, I had a couple on Friday and Wednesday watching you
slightly
box. So
you're professional, aren't you?
I am professional. But Joey, we do want to chat about the boxing. I know you've probably spoken about Daisy, but we haven't had the chance to touch on it yet.
We haven't yet. Joey and Isaac look Smith, but I think we're going to have some fun with Daisy. He was also involved in a controversial umpiring incident in 2019. We're going to get to some dissent in a moment. But in the ring on Wednesday, Day night, you took on your great mate Dane Swan.
Yes, Leroy, let's not that have a good. You didn't invite him to your wedding, did you?
Swan, no, he was invited. He just had to go to his 40th in Vegas. And
he said better plans.
He had better stuff on.
Well, let's have a listen to what happened in the ring, you and Dane Swan on Wednesday night, Daisy.
Oh, good swing right hand from Dane Swan. Lovely right hook from Dane Swan. Thomas gets a big smile on his face. He really wants to hear this final bell. Oh,
two big lefts from Dane Swan.
Two lovely shots.
Daisy grins at him again.
Oh, nice right hook from Dane Swan.
Final 20 seconds, Barry.
Yep. He's going to get there, Dale Thomas. Good on him.
The most joyous of sounds for Daisy Thomas here
for
in that
sure.
Final bell. A big hug between teammates.
Five seconds to go.
Let's go. One big shot left? Oh, Dane Swan threw it. It just grazed the whiskers of Daisy Thomas.
Wow.
And what an entertaining 8 minutes. As you can see, Daisy Thomas is completely and utterly gassed.
Is he ever? He's really struggling.
And Dane Swan looks like he can go another four.
Why is that a surprise to anyone?
What's it like to eat leather, first of all?
No, it was fine.
It was good?
Yeah, no, I knew what I was getting into. Yeah. Swanee's been training up for a long time, and I was probably slightly underdone with a wedding and a honeymoon in the lead up to it. So went in there. The whole idea was to put on a show. I ate a few shots. I threw a few myself, and at the end of the night, we had a beer and enjoyed ourselves. So yeah. I think it was all about entertainment, and I think we provided.
Is there any point, Daisy, where you thought, wouldn't mind just jumping outside the rope right now?
No, I didn't. I knew what I was getting into, Jay. For 2 minutes, though, it went for a very long time.
I was going to ask, was there a point in that fight where you went, oh, boy?
It wasn't so much. I didn't get gas out in terms of, like, aerobically. My legs went. So the lactic in my legs, which is weird in boxing. So that was, and then I just had to stand there. So either had retreat or just keep walking forward. And I just stood there and just ate as many shots as Swanee could throw. Anyway, in a weird way, I kept getting hit, but I kept laughing.
Yeah.
So he hit me, and everyone be like, ooh, and I just started giggling. It was bizarre. Probably speaks to how stupid my head is, but no, it was good fun and a good night.
You may not have got the points, but Nathan Brown, our other comrade, very, very impressive win over Kane Corns. He controlled that fight from the outset and got the points. He's got some other commitments at the moment, so he won't join us this week. We'll speak to him next week. But fair to say, did you watch his fight, Daisy? Because he felt like you called for him to give it to your man, Kane Corns, and he really did. It was a convincing victory.
It was a convincing victory. I'll tell you what I took out of it, Jay. I got some respect for Kane Corns. He didn't run and hide like we thought he may have. He walked forward and walked into a lot of shots from Brownie.
He kept walking into a lot of jabs.
No, but to his credit, he kept doing it. He didn't run like I thought he might have been doing. I knew he would have been fitter, so I thought he might have made Brownie chase him. He just fronted up and just kept copying them. So well done to everyone. It's a pretty lonely place in there. And once you start getting a little bit puffed, there's no real spot to go and hide.
And, of course, Mitch Robertson was the most impressive boxer of the night, Daisy.
Well, that was a proper fight.
That was a good fight. And everyone thought Kane Pettifer, who'd won 3 out of 3 as a professional, would go to task on Mitch Robinson. But he looked really good. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Mitch Robinson again in the ring.
I think that's his plan. He's going to get to sort of TikTok and take over the world a little bit Logan Paul and
Jake Paul style.
Jake Paul style. But no, this is good. This is the Sunday Rub. We aren't actually a boxing show anymore, believe it or not.
we got to get to the footy and a very controversial finish to the Carlton victory over Fremantle. Fremantle did so well to keep their nose in front for the bulk of the game and probably deserved the 4 points until the end. Matty Cottrell, that big mark and goal, and then a descent free kick paid against Jordan Clark. It is an exceptional call from Luke Darcy and BT on Triple M yesterday. Let's take a listen to how it went down.
Jackson wins the knock. Spills to Hewitt. Hewitt around the ball. Cottrell's taken a mark.
Paid it.
There's confusion. Umpires don't know what's going on. Players pointing everywhere. It's a mark.
There's 20 people umpiring.
2 point margin. Carlton down. Cottrell from 30 metres out directly in front. Strides to the line. Carlton in front. Carlton in front. Free kick opens in the middle as well.
That's game done.
The whole thing falling apart for the Dockers.
Game done. The descent free kick is going to gift Carlton a second shot directly in front.
Imagine if that
2 yards
to see that.
And that happens.
At the Adelaide Oval.
No.
A second shot at goal gifted the way of Carlton. Matty Kennedy, he hammers it home. And the Navy Blue fans here in South Australia are going ballistic.
What a remarkable finish to this game. Carlton trailed for a good portion of the day and have got up in the last few minutes here to beat the highly fancy Fremantle Dockers. They have stolen the game from the Dockers.
So Blues get up by 10 points. They're undefeated so far. Isaac Smith, was it an overreaction from the umpire? It was a former cat, Jordan Clark, who gobbed off.
Yeah, well, I spent a bit of time with Jordan Clark and I have no doubt that he said something inappropriate. But you just don't want to. It was such a good game of footy. Freo probably had the run of it all day and Carlton have been managing their last 4 or 5 minutes really well for the last 18 months, but you just don't want to see close games, especially a gather-round, decided by that.
What's the actual ruling, though, Jay-Z?
Yep.
Because I would have thought if you clobber someone behind the play and, fair enough, there's a free kick on the spot of where it happens, is it where you make the descent when you speak the descent to the umpire? Is that where it's paid? Why doesn't it go back to the centre like I would have thought? And then if you continued to gob off, it'd be 50 down the field.
An issue close to home for you, Daisy. You would have thought we'll get to 2019 in a second. In fact, we might
$7,500, Jay-Z.
What you did or didn't say in 1 second. But it's fair. I spoke to the AFL this morning. So the free kick is paid wherever it most disadvantages the team and the player who's done the wrong thing. So if it had happened at fullback, for example, then the free kick would have been at the centre, at the centre ball up. But because it was deep forward, that's what hurts Fremantle the most. And
that's stupid, though.
That is a bit why silly. A free kick is paid.
I feel like
spot.
We have this discussion every year when there's a decision like that.
After a goal.
It should just be in the centre.
Exactly, right.
So Jordan Clark should have been not frustrated and followed the umpire to the middle and then started running his mouth.
No, but then they would have had five in the centre bouts.
Yeah. Well, it was arguably immaturity. Hey, Michael Pell, the former umpire, has been on Twitter this morning. And this is interesting. This is the irony in all this is that I warned Jordan Clark in a COVID-14v14 nothing game when he was a spoilt brat and carrying on that he needed to stop abusing umpires. Guess he still hasn't learned.
Who's that?
This is
Michael
Pell, the former umpire.
Who?
Why is he inserting himself in this?
It gets better.
You're a former umpire.
Stinky attitude, and any wonder Geelong were happy to see the back of him. So an outspoken comment from
The story with Michael Pell? Why has he become famous as a former umpire?
He's got a Twitter account, apparently. So under,
under investigation regarding some information.
Who got the three votes yesterday, you reckon?
I'd like to contradict Michael Pell there and say that Jordan Clark is a lovely young kid. He's obviously just very competitive when he steps over the line, like we all are.
Yep.
And he's made a mistake, and I think that tweet needs to be retracted.
Yeah. And we don't know what was said, Jay-Z, so that's first. But I think I'm on the camp with a lot of former players. You don't want a game decided by that. You want the umpires to have a bit of feel. So there was a lot of emotion in that decision. And the umpires had to understand that. And if he did say something, for the umpires say, Jordan, settle down. Come on. Hey, we've got to finish. You know, like, that's what you would love. I would love to have umpires sometimes have a bit more feel. I know they'll come out and say it was the correct decision and you can't dissent, and we understand all that, but I think that's where the frustration lies in people watching that game yesterday.
It was a big call, and the AFL has backed in the dissent ruling so far this morning. Just wind back the clock, Daisy, because 2019, you got in some strife, as we've mentioned. It was a game against the Giants where you might have had a few choice words to say to the umpire. I think we've got some of that, Leroy. Can you play it?
Just said, grab it onto me. I'll just shrug you off. Look, he's on my arm, you
as a result of the last contest, we've now got this free kick.
You remember what you said, Daisy? Something cheap?
I referred to an umpire as, what you're doing is as good as cheating, because he came down and he instructed the GWS Giants that they had five forwards instead of six in the 6-6-6 rule. We hadn't had a centre clearance all night, so I thought it might have been the chance. We're about 100 points down. And to Isaac's point, I am competitive. Once I cross the line, I don't really... a lot of time I wasn't really thinking about what I was doing. I just wanted to get the best outcome and try and get any advantage I could. So obviously when you question an umpire like that in terms of integrity, that was a pretty poor choice by me at the time. I had to go to the tribunal on the Tuesday night, and I'm not sure if you covered that story, Jay, but you do the agreed facts. So the story that you both agree was truthful. I like to stand up and read it out on a Tuesday night, word for word.
There was
some colourful language in there.
I did cover it, Daisy. It was the back page of the Herald Sun. I might print out one for you just as a souvenir edition. Well, you said you crossed the white line and there was some fruity language. By the Tuesday night at the tribunal, you were playing a much straighter bat. Let's take a listen.
Already rock bottom on the ladder, Carlton was delivered yet another whack today. Dale Thomas has been ordered to face the tribunal tomorrow night. Eyton Woolley joins us live now from Finsters Park. Eyton, what's Daisy done?
Well, Tony, it's certainly an unusual case. It was in the third quarter of that loss to GWS that Thomas is alleged to have called a boundary umpire a cheat, with a bit of colourful language thrown in for good measure.
It was a bear jump on.
It wasn't even the field umpire.
It was a bear jump on.
But that's why. What was he doing? So I was like, hey, what are you doing, you little nipsy piss off? Go back to the boundary. Don't tell him there's five forwards. What are you doing? And the behind the goals footage is what did me in, because I said, I said some words to him. I can't remember. I went at him for 15 seconds and he started walking off. I turned around and then the camera shows that I followed him for another 10. But we do need to be better. The umpires
play. No, no, that's a no. no-no, Dave.
That is a certain no-no, so be better, Dale. You're a naughty boy.
We love the umpires. Appreciate everything they do in the game. You said you're extremely apologetic, must be said, in that statement.
I was
statement.
Apologetic because it cost me $7,500. I still think he cheated.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks footy.
Yes, welcome back to the Sunday Rub from McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M Rocks footy. The boys in absolutely fine form to start this edition last night. Geelong winners by 4 points over the Bulldogs. Carlton by 10 over Fremantle. Sydney by 26. But a strong performance, one of the strongest we've seen from West Coast. We'll get to Harley Reid in a little second. And that tug of the jumper. We love it when the boys show some fashion. It was a nice moment in the first quarter. When he gets to
passion, you mean, Jack?
What did
You're
I say?
Not any fashion?
Did I say fashion? Then did I?
Yeah, yeah.
Big fan of the jumper.
Well, nice. This is the dark blue.
Every week I like to give Bernie Vince something for his Nuff Nuff segment. And nice to know I got out of the way early. Hey, it was funny what you said about the descent. Obviously, Justin Longmuir, the Fremantle coach, we have to cover off on this quickly. He certainly adamant that Geordie Clark did the wrong thing in the moment yesterday.
Did they even know who the free kick was against for the second
goal? Oh, I think it was against Clarkey, but yeah, I'll have to dig a little bit deeper.
Is that something you reach out to the league or the umpiring just to make sure you know exactly what happened in that instance?
Oh, they haven't really decided yet. Yeah, should have just got on with it. Yeah, even if they weren't happy with the call before, like, there's not much you can do. The players clearly thought they'd touched the footy. And they still say that now, but I mean, that's a really hard call for the umpire to make. Yeah, but without going to a replay. So, and we don't want to do that for every decision. So we just need to move on, because the umpire's never going to backtrack, are they? So we just need to move on and control what we can control in those moments and give ourselves a chance, like you said.
I think it's a good response from Justin Longmuir. It did look like it touched James Aish's shoulder and his hair, which means it's touched, but it's so hard to tell in the moment. What about
there's a fair deflection there. There's a fair deflection when you see that camera angle from behind the goals. It does take a fair deflection, and all the players knew that it deflected. So
you think they missed one?
100% they missed one. Have they come out and said they missed it when you said they ticked off on the descent was the right call? Have they ticked off AFL that they might have missed one?
I think there's some understanding that it's pretty hard. I mean, you think in cricket when there's a caught behind decision, the umpires have to go to the replay. Well, should they have the power in that moment? That'll be the conversation. Should the umpires have the power in a game-winning moment to be able to go to the replay? Is that what we want? Is that the technology we need?
This is, you know what, Jay? This is where I'm getting to. I was going to talk about this on First Crack tonight, but I'll bring it up right now. Why are we the only sport, major sport in the world, that can't challenge an umpiring decision? Mm. When you think about cricket, soccer, rugby union, rugby league, NFL, basketball, they can all ask to challenge a decision from an umpire or referee. Yet our sport doesn't allow for that. I think we need to be open to the idea of maybe a fourth quarter or late in games that you are allowed to ask for a decision to be reviewed, because we want the right outcomes. And when you think about now, we'll wait for 1 minute in the middle of the first quarter to see whether the ball trickles over for 1 point or not. We'll stop and allow boundary umpires to get together and discuss whether it was out of bounds on the fall and spend 30 seconds with the field umpire. But yet when there's a critical decision late in games, we don't have a mechanism for the players to be able to review it. And that would have been the situation right then. They could have done it. I just think we need to be a bit more open. Why our sport is the only one that can't do it.
The thing is, though, it'll start to be manipulated by coaches. So you go to you've still got your challenge up your sleeve and you question something just to stop a run of goals.
That's always everyone goes. The first thought is how we're going to manipulate it. But what if the other view is we get the right outcome? We get the right result?
Well, I think there's so...
I'm with you, Joey.
Our games are so quick.
And there's so many mistakes in our game. Like, the game is built on mistakes. So if we're going to pull apart one little instant, like, the game is decided over the whole 120 minutes.
That applies to every other sport in the world, Isaac, but they can review decisions.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily like it. Like, I'm sick of saying crypto.com after every goal at the moment.
I'm not, because they're a sponsor of mine, so big shout. Crypto.com for all your crypto needs.
I think it's a great call, Joey. In the last 5 minutes of a game, when it's genuinely deciding the four premiership points, and that's what decides futures, livelihoods, finals, positions, I think it's a really good call. Maybe that is a card the coaches can have up their sleeve in the last sort of 5 minutes of a game, a decisive moment, go to the replay. I think it's a really good call.
Or like a captain's call. Like
Captain's challenge in rugby league and rugby union.
I think that's more of a realistic approach rather than it being we have to wait for the coaches.
It would be a captain's challenge.
Or could be the umpire's call. If they're genuinely uncertain.
Very good.
So
good point.
You take all player and coach out of it.
Yep.
We're going to speak to Adam Chera, a fine pickup for the Blues. They are undefeated after four. Are they the team to beat, or is it Melbourne or Geelong? We'll get to that in a second. Joey, you are the one person, I reckon, in the footy media who before the season said, don't write off the Cats. They are up to their necks in a premiership this year. Everyone has forgotten them. They missed the finals last year.
The one person.
No, I didn't hear anyone else.
Izzy was with me. We had a chat off air at the start of the season. Izzy was still bullish on the Cats as well. Yeah. But yeah, keep going, Jay. Keep going. Back to your point.
You two guys were the only two who picked the Cats.
Jay. Us three.
Of course, all three.
I actually reckon Rab's in the backwards on them as well. And Jace.
We question their midfield depth. Last night, extraordinarily, Jeremy Cameron has 27 possessions. The man is a freak. Jack Bowes has 23. Grian Myers, all-Australian contender, clearly. And even Max Holmes, that massive goal from 60. Tanner Bruin had some nice moments. Where do we feel like the Cats are in this premiership race? They are undefeated after four rounds and have a winnable game next week.
Oh, they're certainly right up there. I am very bullish, and I'll have a little bit of bias here, but I think the Cats have the best defence in the competition, bar none. Their forward line, I would say, is on par with Carlton and GWS, so and probably Brisbane when they're firing. So they're in the top four there. Their Achilles heel is their midfield, and they look like they've improved that over the summer. Tanner Bruin is starting to play some really consistent footy. Max Holmes is starting to have an influence. The one that's really stepped up is Jai Clark and Brandon Parfitt. Mm-hmm. Parf had been out of favour for a little while, but he's come in and he's had a huge impact. His defensive efforts, he eventually gets more tackles and pressures than he gets touches a game. And that's what they need in there, because they do have guys like Holmes and Dangerfield, and when they get Guthrie back, that can actually burst out of the midfield. And the other thing is, which gets underrated, is Mark Blitzhalves. He goes in, plays ruck. He plays a traditional old ruck rover role. And he might not get the possessions, but he sets everything up for the other guys to influence in there.
And what gets undersold, and I think that's what happened at the start of the year when everyone does their predictions, is we look at the lists of every team, but we don't take into consideration the system and the coach. And he's the best coach in the league, Chris Scott. And Geelong can argue have got the best defensive system and the way they structure up, which just gives them a chance. And that's why I was so bullish on them coming into the year.
Why are the Cats always so good, though, Izzy? You've been inside the four walls. What is it down there that makes them great? Because you look at it and you're like, wow, every time they seem to pick someone up like a Stengel, they go down and they become better. They seem to tip people off the rubbish heap and turn them into stars with a good system and a good culture, it seems.
Well, I think you have the good system, the good culture, and everyone talks about culture and there's different cultures. But the one thing they do is they treat their players like adults.
Incredible.
Wow, that's rare in footy. No, it's true.
It's so rare. And it's true. And I don't want to give too many trade secrets away, but they genuinely treat you like an adult and they let you live your own life and you're out of the Melbourne bubble. You go in, and every time you go in there, because you're not there all the time, you're busting the door down to get in. And when you rock up game day, you're genuinely fresh to play. So I look at some teams now, they rock up game day, and I think they've had the hardest week on the training track. Mm. They get to halfway through the second quarter, and you think, they're not even going to be able to run out the game here. So Geelong can always run out a game. And that doesn't necessarily mean they're always going to be top four or winning premierships, but they always put themselves in a position each week to compete.
So that's great insight, Izzy. Can you give us an example? If you've got a team meeting with clashes with a school pickup for your kids.
This is off air, Jay.
What happens?
There's obviously a lot of dads down at Geelong, and I think there was 12, 13 or 14 dads last year that all had multiple kids. And if there's something going on with one of your kids, or you need to pick your kids up, or you need to do something, the club understands that there are things that you have to do as a parent. Which means, therefore, then your wife can work or live her life. So, yeah, there's a lot of flexibility around how they set up their program. Obviously, the guys that are younger and don't have families have a different type of program. But you look at someone like Tom Hawkins, he could effectively play till he's 40 because they've set the program up that he can genuinely be a dad at home. He can be a husband. His wife can hold down a job, and he can also be an elite footballer at the same time.
No, that's why he is the media performer. New media performer of the year, Isaac Smith. That is great insight to one of the most successful organisations in the game.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M Rocks footy. Welcome back to the Sunday Rub. It's Dale Thomas, Lee Montagna and Isaac Smith in outstanding form for your Sunday. Some news just off the top, guys. Obviously, the AFL investigating an incident involving Port Adelaide's Jeremy Finlayson. A comment, an unsavoury comment, a homophobic slur he made against an Essendon player on Friday night in Port Adelaide's massive win. Spoken to the AFL this morning. They are continuing to investigate. Jeremy Finlayson has already apologised. I think there could be a big fine coming his way. I don't think the AFL has ruled out a potential suspension either. They take this stuff very seriously. The investigation is ongoing. I think in a couple of days' time we'll wind up somewhere. But some sort of sanction clearly coming for Jeremy Finlayson. Good news for Carlton. They play Adelaide next week. Sam Walsh, very impressive on the training track across the weekend. And Michael Voss, suggesting that he will play against the Crows, which is a huge boost for Carlton, who are undefeated across four games so far this season. But Lachie Fogarty's in some strife. You might have seen the heavy collision with Nat Fyfe in the win over the Dockers yesterday. Does look like a one-match suspension to Lachie Fogarty. For me, Michael Voss, after the game, defended his small forward, but there was high contact made, which could be careless, medium impact and high contact. Let's take a listen to the Carlton coach backing in his player.
I thought it was a great contest from two guys keeping their eyes on the footy. I think that's what the pure thing about AFL is. And, Fife went back with the fly of the ball and Fogg come across and tried to spoil it. So with eyes on the ball the whole way. So, I thought it was just a great contest.
Suspect Fogarty out and Walsh in. Hey, Jack McRae is quickly becoming a story, guys. He's 29 years old, contracted until 2027. So 3 more years left on a decent deal. He was sub last night for the Western Bulldogs. I want to get opinion on his future from you because clubs will clearly be eyeing him. Luke Beveridge spoke on it last night, and just tell me whether you think he's talking about transitioning the team or looking more to the youth at the Kennel. This is Luke Beveridge on Jack McRae's future.
Just part of the selection process. Yeah, I mean, as I've said before, we've been punched out in elimination final a couple of years ago. We missed finals last year. We have to evolve. We have to make sure we get experience into the likes of Riley Sanders and Harvey Gallagher and make sure those small forwards who are playing really well for us in Latham and Westy and Cody aren't, I suppose, substituted for a mid who can spend a little bit of time there. We need balance in our team. And I suppose, yeah, there's not an infinite amount of midfield time that we can throw around, and we've probably done that in the past where we didn't have the resources, the players who can play those forward roles and the wing roles accordingly. So it's meant that there's just pressure through the team for spots and that's what's transpired. So this week, based on last week, Jack did okay, but this is a week for him to be sub.
You feel like it's the right call, Joey?
I do. I respect the way Luke Beveridge spoke there, and I respect what he's trying to do, because we've all been somewhat critical of the Western Bulldogs probably underachieving in the last few seasons and not getting the job done at the business end of the year. So they need to evolve. And yes, he's a good player, Jack McRae, but the question is, can they make their team better without him or in other ways? And I think what he spoke about then made sense. Like, Riley Sanders is a top 10 pick. You've got to play him. I've really loved Harvey Gallagher's start to the year. He's got some real burst speed, which the modern game is. He doesn't want to compromise his forward pressure and what you're trying to build with your small forwards in the forward half. So unfortunately for Jack McRae, everything Luke Beveridge said, you have to respect and say it makes sense.
3 more years on a deal. He'll be elsewhere, I think, at the end of the season. Not much doubt about that. Libba, 35 possessions, 28 contested possessions and 14 clearances. I know the Cats have had the wood over the Dogs, Isaac, and you were part of some big wins there. But Libba goes nuts against the Cats. He's an extraordinary player. Who did you guys used to just really often have a day out about? Who did you lick your lips when you come up against back in your magnificent
place? As individuals or in our teams?
Individuals. Oh, I want some real self-indulgent stuff.
Well,
Isaac, is there anyone in particular or just sort of...
I guess, to be honest, Jay-Z, in probably the first decade of my football career, I hadn't lost to 10 or 12 of the size of the competition. So,
so everyone,
it's
is that what you're saying?
It's hard to argue, Jay-Z. It's annoying the resume that this man has and the fact that that's actually factually correct.
We did have a look. He lost to half the competition like two times for his whole career. And he said and some of them were in only last year. So, yeah, that's unique.
You, Joey?
There's always sides, though. Like, yeah. I always look forward to playing the Eagles, whether it was over here or over there, big ground, a chance, especially when you're playing on the wing to go and have yourself a big day. I love playing them. And the Sydney Swans, for whatever reason as well, we always played as a team when they were very strong. We always, whatever we were on the ladder, we played well and we seemed to beat them.
Yeah, Daisy, do you remember? Sorry, okay. 2007 semi-final, Daisy over in the West, Collingwood versus the Eagles.
Are you going to talk about when I took five bounces?
No, someone kicked the clutch goal, I think, to send it into overtime. Do you remember who that was from about 40 metres out?
Yeah, it was me.
Joey, who did you used to fill your boots against?
I think early days, Richmond was a team that I always had pretty good success against. So
is that because they kicked a lot of points and you took the kick in?
Look how flat it is. It's just such a cheap gag, Daisy. You're better than that. You're funnier than that to go for the low-hanging fruit and tag on with the other boys. I think Richmond was probably one that you used to rack up a bit of footy at the MCG.
Oh, I love that, boys. Righto, it's time for this.
Now on the Sunday Rub.
Every gun makes its own tune.
It's the good, the bad, and the ugly from the round so far.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
Daisy, you're our glass half full, man. Where do we start?
I'm starting with the good, Jay, and I'm just going straight on the theme of gather round in Adelaide for the foreseeable future. It is unbelievable what they're doing over here. There's activations everywhere. The city is humming. The weather's been impeccable too, and the product continues to get better and better. So the good for me this week is what Adelaide have done, and full credit to them. They're the ones who embraced it. They said, we'll have it. They continue to make it better and better. And for the, as I said, for as long as they want it, they should be able to have it.
Yeah, I agree. They own it here. I think it's their baby. It's what we talk about North Melbourne and Good Friday and some other teams, Anzac Day, of course. If you own it and you've made it yours, they shouldn't be taking it off them.
So they're proud of it.
I think they should be holding it here for a long
time. The locals are really proud of what they do and how they showcase their city. So it's brilliant. I don't think anyone else could embrace it as much as they have. So well done to the people of Adelaide, the city of churches.
Get over here next year. If you haven't done it yet, get over next year. Book your flights early and get over and spend the weekend here.
You'll be headed to the Barossa, I think, at some point next year. Look forward to an official announcement on that potentially. Tomorrow, sip on a nice big Shiraz. Hey, Joey, you've got the bad.
I do have the bad. I'm putting myself in the bad category, and it's my tipping. I can't believe I fell in. On the midweek rub, I gave Essendon a bit of a sniff, I'm putting myself in it. I've learnt my lesson. They were yuck, Essendon. I don't know what it is about them. They were competitive for about a quarter and a half, and then it just fell away completely. I've never quite understood what it is, because you look across their list and they've got talent everywhere. They've got top 10 draft picks and first round picks, and it looks pretty good on paper, but they just can't seem to consistently put it together. I thought they would be better, so I'm putting myself in the bad category. I won't fall into Essendon thinking they can cause an upset again.
What about what happened in the centre square? Just quickly on this. So Jason Horne-Francis has 7 centre clearances. Rosie was unbelievable, the Port Adelaide captain. Essendon only 6 centre clearances, and that is their one wood. That is their strength in the middle of the ground with Merritt and Parrish and all those young midfielders, etc. Can I have a quick pick one? We used to do this on a Saturday morning, Joey. If you only had to take one player and I had to give you Jason Horne-Francis or Harry Sheasel in the old sort of schoolyard game, who would you take, Jason Horne-Francis or Harry Sheasel? Because he was a maligned player, the Hornet. He got punched from pillar to post in his exit from North Melbourne, and everyone lauded Harry Sheasel, and he's an extraordinary player. But if you had to pick one, who are you taking?
No, I'm taking Horne-Francis, absolutely. He's going to finish his career at an absolute like top echelon. I think I even said, I might have been on the Sunday, I didn't know that him and Nick Dacos would probably both end up as being Hall of Famers. I can still see that happening. What I've noticed about Horne-Francis this year is he's now starting to get a tank to match the talent. So he's able to cover the ground more. He was a player that was more burst out of stoppage, in and out of games, but show the talent. Now that he's got the tank, he's had a few pre-seasons under the belt, he's already something special, but will just continue to develop.
Isaac?
Well, yeah, I'd be taking Jason Horne-Francis. I remember last year he... cleaned me up, and I tried to give him a little bit of lip, and he gave me the Luke Hodge eyes, and I thought, yes. I thought he's got this. He just knows what he's doing, and I just cannot see, other than injury, I cannot see how he's not going to be an absolute superstar of this competition.
I'd have either, Jay. Wouldn't be phased either way. I'll go with Sheezel. As for the start of the career that he's had instantly in a side that isn't as good as Port Adelaide, if he put himself into a really good side like the Hornet has done, I think he still has a maximum, a huge amount of upside.
He's so poised.
It's incredible. It's almost annoying how good these kids are coming straight out of under-18s and how good... he's had 30-odd touches a plethora of times and... Took me about 5 years to get there.
Elite ball user. Isaac, you've got the ugly.
Yeah, the ugly. I have to agree with Daisy. Adelaide have not put a foot wrong other than the music scene. I have absolutely no idea who's been playing
Tina Arena.
I hopped in a cab last night and Tina Arena, she was unbelievable at the 1995 grand final. But come on, guys. Come on. Come on, Peter.
You are the man who does get around in a cowboy hat and some leather boots, though. So we know that you like the country.
Well, Chris Stapleton's rolling into Melbourne this week. We could have got him over. Aaron Williams, I'm sure, would have sponsored that.
Well, I've got a good, and that is Harley Reid, the number one draft pick. Remember when he was in the draft pool last year and there was talk about him being homesick and the West Coast Eagles wouldn't pick him, etc. He kicked that powerful goal, snap left foot against the Swans yesterday. He's a man of extraordinary talent and gave the tug of the jumper. Grab the West, the blue and the gold with passion. And it was a magnificent moment. He doesn't look like a bloke who is homesick to me. This is Adam Simpson, the West Coast coach, after the game, just trying to screw the lid on tightly.
I think we're starting to see really good glimpses of Harley. He just wants to be part of the team. He wants to win. He wants to play with his mates. So no extra stuff when he kicks a goal. It's just a good play. You know, we really enjoyed when Cripper kicked that goal in the last 2 minutes. The celebration was the same. So the kids playing well was great for everyone to see. So when we see that, I think we all, we all celebrate that. And Harley's just part of that.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy. Welcome back to the Sunday Rub. Been an outstanding edition with the boys so far as we count down to the Expansion Cup, Gold Coast versus GWS. It's Damien Hardwick versus his protege, the master and the apprentice, Adam Kingsley. Looking forward to that one. GWS, a chance to win this year's flag. We've got to keep a close eye on the Giants. But right now we have to cross to, well, he's dominated the stats for the best part of two decades. We love, he's the heartbeat of the Triple M operation, and he's making his calling debut for the game today, Suns Giants. It's a big good afternoon, and hello to you, Ash Chua.
Chew man.
Good afternoon. Hey, thanks for the round of applause. I can barely speak as I'm speaking. I'm not a good start, am I? I really appreciate it, guys.
Absolute shit show. This we've got you on to pump you up, and you've started butchering the English language.
Oh, he's nervous.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of that. Don't you worry about that over the next 2 to 3 hours.
Jay-Z, start again. Give him a welcome again. We'll go from the top.
Ash, you've got one chance at this, mate. We need you to absolutely fire right. Now, we need to get some practice under your wings. You know, I'm sure a few nerves and all that sort of stuff. Now, pretend, right, the tap down to Cornelio, hand passes it off to Kelly, long kick into Jesse Hogan. Give us some of the stuff we can look forward to today. Have a practice run.
Nah, Jay-Z, if I was going to pretend, I reckon the boss, you and Giles, would shuffle me back in the stats chair, mate. So I'm going to save it for the big call.
Save it, mate.
Exactly, Joey.
Let's take a listen. I think you did a practice call for the Carlton-Brisbane game in the opening round. Let's get a little bit of a taste of what Ash Chua can bring to the microphone.
Carlton currently trailed by 5 points. This to give them the lead. He comes in. The drop punt's on his way. Harry, you've done it.
Any advice, Joey?
No, it sounded good.
I like that. It
sounded good. Chew's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. No, he is. He's one of our favourites at Triple M. That's why we're so excited for him and having a bit of fun. But good luck today, Chew. Enjoy it. Don't take it too seriously. And we'll all be listening.
No, thanks, Joey. Damien Hardwick, as we mentioned off air yesterday, didn't help my cause, did he? Fielded 7 changes for today's game. 3 debutants. So it's going to take me back to calling St. Albans versus Braybrook in the Western Region Footy League in terms of challenges with player. identification. Maybe it's some stats that I delivered about the Richmond Footy Club over the last 10 years that sorry, it's a set play from him.
Just make it up, mate. No one can see anyone.
Yeah, that's right. That's the advantage of radio. Yeah, it's good. Thank you for the secret, Izzy.
So just your number recognition. How do you feel? Like, do you feel it's good? Do you feel like your RFI? How do you feel like your number recognition goes?
No, I'm feeling pretty good myself and Tim Solly. We just went through, the 46 players about 10 minutes ago, actually, each individual player. Right. So, no, feeling pretty good from that aspect.
17 Jay-Z. For the Giants?
17 for the Giants is Callaghan.
Oh, 15 for the Giants.
15, Taylor.
Jay-Z, he's at the ground he's with the team sheet.
That's exactly right. Got the glossy team sheets in front of me, boys.
Off to a ripping start. How's that? Just thanks for building my confidence.
Just don't butcher the credits, Chew Man. Don't butcher the credits.
Leaving that to Tim Solly. Time in possession will be 95% his way with the credits.
And just lastly, Chew Man, have you brought the pillow?
Have I brought the pillow?
The cushion to sit on.
No, that's strategically at the MCG only because the bench is a little bit higher at that particular venue. Fortunately, it's quite low, so I can actually see over the bench, Jay-Z. Plus, I'll be standing up anyway, I reckon, when I'm calling most of the time.
You'll be brilliant, Chew Man. You will be absolutely brilliant. We can't wait to hear it.
We love you, Chew, and we wish
really
you the
appreciate the
best.
Support from the Triple M family, as well as friends, as well as even on social media. I'm not a social media operator, but Mrs. Chew and my sister have fielded me some nice messages, but that could all change after this call, guys.
I was about to say that. We're friendly now, Chew Man. We'll give you shit after the game. Please.
No doubt.
We can look forward to a highlights reel. Ash, Chew, good luck, mate. Turn the spar on and enjoy.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
He is the heartbeat of the Triple M operation. Quickly, boys, let's talk about Jack Ginnivan. Collingwood Hawthorn today. A bit strange that this is not at the MCG, this game, because it would have attracted 90,000. As Jack Ginnivan said himself, he said, bring it on. He can't wait to take on his old mob. After last week, we just got no love from the umpires. The AFL said they don't umpire him any differently. Do you believe it, Joey?
Do they umpire him differently? No, I don't think so, because if any player raised their arm, you're unlikely to get a free kick. We were told that 2 years ago, and most players don't do it now except for him who continues to do it. So the question I want to ask you, first time today he goes for the ball, picks it up and then raises his arm and he's taken high, does the umpire blow the whistle and pay a free kick?
Of course they will. Yeah, there's no doubt. It's going to be a free.
Why?
It's going to be a free kickathon because it's reactionary. We see this all the time.
So now, does it mean our players are going to start lifting their arm again? Are we going to have that? What was happening a couple of years ago, where it was becoming a real trend and an epidemic of players? Even Scotty Pendlebury went through a stage where he was trying it.
Oh, he did.
Are we going to start doing that again? Are we going to start to go back to a stage where players are going to lift their arm to get free kicks?
Well, I think it's going to specifically relate to Jack Ginnivan. I think. Broadly, it's umpired well, and I think there were some blues last week on Ginnivan, and I just think that any contact with him, the umpires will fall for. Do you guys like the way he plays? Do you think he needs to change his game?
I couldn't be more about this kid. He just does not give a single stuff. He doesn't care what anyone says, and I thought at the start of it, especially with all that Kane Corn stuff, it might have sort of taken him back a little bit. He might have shied away from things. He's even fallen in behind the fact that when he went to the races the night before the grand final, that was the right decision because he wanted to not think about football. He generally does not give a two fat rats clackers about what anyone else thinks, and he will embrace this today. He'll wear the long sleeves. He'll be ducking his head. He'll be right underneath the skins of the Pies. And hopefully he can kick some goals and get right up them. I've been blown away. Since he went to Hawthorn, I've obviously got a lot of close mates at Hawthorn, and he's a genuine student of the game, and I didn't realise this about Jack Ginnivan, and he's a bit of a footy nuffy. He'd be good next to Chew Man because he knows every number, every player, all this type of thing. But I think the way he attacks the footy, and I watched him closely on Monday against Geelong, the way he attacks the footy is brilliant. The only thing he's getting wrong is he keeps lifting the arm.
Yep.
If he stays low, and I reckon Lee Matthews said it really well during the week, if he stays low, drives low, and gets the contact, he gets the free kick.
100%.
He's just got to put the arm away because on Monday, he had the ability to impact the scoreboard probably 8 to 10 times if he just took clean possession and tried to execute the skill. But I think at the moment, he's worrying a little bit too much about that. But as Daisy said, I am all about Jack Ginnivan and his box office, and everyone will be tuning in today to watch him.
Well, he's going to be the centrepiece of the forward line because there's no Mitch Lewis, There's no Luke Bruce.
No Watson.
No Wizard Watson. It's going to be
Ginnivan. Who's left?
Or no. Bust. What? How
no,
do you?
No Lance Franklin. No Jared Ruffin.
Jordy Lewis.
No Dunstall and Brereton.
Are you concerned at all? And I know they're your team, Isaac. Are you concerned? 0-4 so far this season. Are you concerned about them at all?
No, I'm not concerned. They've got talent coming through. They've got a strategic direction that the president, the CEO, the football manager and the coach are all aware of, and they're all working together to push in that direction. They need more talent. They need more top 10 picks on the list. They need to land one or two big free agents, and that needs to be key position, I reckon, somewhat. Yep. I saw a couple of Hawthorn scouts roaming the ground yesterday. But they need those type of things. Whether they win or lose right now, it's not ideal for footy, but they need to get talent in the door, especially before Tasmania come in. So, they've got some issues. But when they've shown that they can put patches together, they look okay. They just have not been able to do it this year as of yet.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, so McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy. Welcome back to the Sunday Rub. Well, we only speak to the best players in the game on a Sunday, it's fair to say. And this man, the former Docker turned blue, was outstanding in Carlton's win yesterday with 24 touches against his old mob, which must have been particularly sweet for you, Adam Chera. Good afternoon.
How you guys? How you going?
Going well. They took on the old boys. Is it? I know it was a frantic finish, and we'll get that to you in a second. Was it nice to beat the your old mates of the Dockers?
Yeah, I think any win is always nice, but it's obviously I've good fun playing against them. Good mates with a lot of them still, but it's always good to get the win against the old mob.
And an extraordinary finish, mate. They had their noses ahead for the bulk of the game, the Dockers, but some huge moments from Patrick Cripps, Charlie Curnow, Matthew Cottrell kicks that goal. And I know that you were probably around the ball, but can you give us a snippet of what Geordie Clark might have said, if you can repeat it or not?
No, I was waiting at the CSB, getting ready.
CSB, is that the bottle shop?
That's BWS.
That was later. I can't tell you what he said. I was probably furthest away from it, but weird finish, as you said, but we'll take it, I guess.
Are you still in gathering? Are you still in Adelaide at the moment? What's the plans for the Blues? Are you flying back?
We flew back last night, so we got in probably just before midnight last night. So it's nice to wake up in your own bed after a game. It's what you guys know as well.
What about that frantic finish? The controversial touch. Were you around that? You said you were heading back to the centre square bounce after that, but did you think the ball was touched? What was your thoughts there?
I wasn't sure whether it was touch. I heard a sound, but George Hewitt was pretty certain that someone slapped him on the foot. I can't comment really. I mean, there's decisions go either way throughout the game, but all I remember was seeing Cottrell marking it, and he believed it was marking, so did the umpire. So, they just play ball from there.
And how flat were the Dockers just out of 10 with that, Adam?
They're pretty disappointed. weird finish. I didn't know what to say to them, really. But I guess that's footy. Sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. We've had our moments as well, but... we'll take a win whenever we can. So it's a tough game of footy, and I thought the boys held up really well in the end to really finish off their moments late in that quarter and stay in the game.
So tell us about it. Michael Voss, after the game, said he was really proud of the way the team executed the big moments. Got the ball out of the stoppage. Patrick Cripps, unbelievable, really, despite having a new baby. Probably didn't sleep a lot this week, Cripper, it's fair to say. But can you take us into the mindset of that last minute or so?
For us, it's not cruise control, but we've trained those moments a heap over the last 2 years. So we feel quite comfortable. Whether we're down by a goal or up by a goal, that everyone just gets their jobs done and we execute our roles. So obviously there's some moments of brilliance in that. I think Charlie had a nice mark, went back and finished it. A few big clearances from us. So and that obviously helps, but I think that the setup around the ball and everyone's ability to connect and communicate, get their job done, It's been a massive growth area for us, and it's shown in all our close games, which is great.
I was going to say, Chess, who do you knock around with at the club? You've come across from the Dockers. You've been there a couple of years now. Who are you Chinas there at the club?
The midfield group's all pretty close. Hang out a fair bit with Matt Kennedy, George Hewitt, Sam Walsh, Cripper. And I live around the corner from Big Charles, so we spend a bit of time going to the local pools or going to get a coffee and whatnot. So I'd probably say those are the guys.
And you got Sam Walsh coming back next week. Jay-Z's reporting. He thinks that he might be a chance to play. That must be exciting to get the superstar back.
Yeah, super exciting. I mean, he's been dominating training for the last couple of weeks. Trying to play on him is pretty tough. So I can't wait to have him back on my side and running a ruck. So, he's been working extremely hard in his rehab. And I know he'll fit really well back into the side. And the form he finished off with in the final series last year, just reminded everyone what he can do. So he'll be massive for us this year.
Adam Chera, we thank you and we wish you well for the season ahead. Carlton right up to their necks in a deep finals run, potential flag. Best start since 1995, and we all remember what happened that year for the Mighty Blues. Mate, all the best for the year ahead.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Chez. It is great, isn't it, when the Blues are up and about as a supporter base. Daisy, you're turning into a bit of a Carlton nuffy again. But when Carlton are winning games and the faithful come out, it's great for the competition.
Yeah, it certainly is. And yeah, I was a part of an era there where there wasn't a whole lot of joy. So the pain that is still attached to that, it's great to see some nourishment and some wins and some joy and some happiness on faces and some real clear direction that this is actually on the right path now. I think we were talking about that Good Friday clash. It was a game where a lot of Blues fans historically would have gone, oh, I don't know, this could be a bit of a danger game. They can rock up now knowing that the team's going to bring their maximum effort and they've got talent everywhere. It's good to see. And the footy's better when the Blues are up and about.
And they're winning in different ways, aren't they, Jay-Z? Like, we know they've got the high-end talent. They can kick a big score and Harry and Charlie can get a hold. But in an arm wrestle like it was last night, defensively, they held really firm. They were getting beaten around the ball, which is unusual for Carlton. But great sides just find ways to win, and that's what they're able to do.
And quickly, I know we'll touch on the games in 1 second for today. Ahead of the call, Gold Coast versus GWS. We've talked a lot about GWS in Sydney. How do you rank the other Victorian teams? Where have you got Geelong, Melbourne, Carlton in that sort of pecking order? Is anyone standing out? Is it Melbourne that's leading the race in terms of those clubs? How would you rank them?
Probably for me, I've got the most faith out of the others in Melbourne. I do. I think that they've got that redemption element. We spoke about it, Jaden, in the preseason. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone's thinking that they're being galvanised off the back of what happened over summer with Clayton Oliver and some other bits and pieces. For me, I think that they've been galvanised and knuckled down over the embarrassment of losing in straight sets both the last 2 years of finals for a team that is as good as they are, that have played a lot of footy together and that are an elite team. Let's be fair, that they have been a top four team for 3 or 4 years now. They were smarting from that, and that's what I think has driven them all through the preseason and to start this year more so than some of the off-field sort of conversations and news elements that have been going around. So I'm still pretty bullish that this is a bit of a redemption year for Melbourne, but I like Geelong and Carlton as well. I don't think you can, at the moment, still too early to separate those teams along with probably the two sides from New South Wales.
It's early to separate, and the fixtures had no normality as of yet, so teams have been bouncing around, and it's all been a little bit out of kilter, and I think this Thursday night will tell us a hell of a lot. Brisbane are going to play Melbourne at the MCG. Massive clash. I reckon that'll tell us a fair bit about where Melbourne's at. And Geelong will finish the round undefeated against North Melbourne, and their percentage will be 140, 145. So I don't think we're going to get a clear indication until about round 8 to 12 where these teams are sitting. Yeah, there's 3 or 4 Melbourne teams, but it looks like the interstate teams are possibly the stronger looking ones at the moment.
So Gold Coast versus GWS coming up. What about Richmond St Kilda? Just quickly, Richmond missing Tom Lynch and, of course, Noah Bolter decimated the spine. St Kilda poor late against the Bombers last week. What way do we think that'll go?
I'm comfortable with the Saints. Will be far too good. I think Max King comes in as well for them, so their forward stocks get better. They were very good against the Bombers. They should have won that game by the numbers. They had their opportunities. They were just errant in that first half when they could have put the game to bed. They let the Bombers hang around, and that's why they lost. So I think today they get a nice opportunity to go and get the 4 points against the Tigs, who have a lot of injuries.
Yeah, they should be winning St Kilda. I trust Ross Lyon to get the group to learn from their mistakes. Liam Baker also out for Richmond. They've been really competitive. They've surprised me how well they've played to start the season, but their depth's going to be tested now, and I think a St Kilda team, as professional as they are, should get the job done today.
If you're a Richmond fan, I reckon you'd have to be really happy with how they started the season. They could have beaten Carlton round one. Should have probably beaten Carlton round one. Port Adelaide round three, was it? They win last week against Sydney. For the injuries they've got and the change they've had, I think you'd have to be very happy being a Richmond supporter.
And Collingwood versus Hawthorn looks like a tough challenge for the Hawks. Collingwood clear favourites for this one. How do we see it panning out?
Well, I think Peter Hudson's coming back there forward line. So it's going to be hard for him to kick a winning score. But you know what? It might force the players to do something completely different and you might get a different look. But Pies should win.
Yeah, Pies should be winning this one. Get their season starting to roll and continue to build into the year.
40 plus of Pies.
Well, gentlemen, it has been interesting. No, it's been a great show. There's no doubt about that. You've fought on, Daisy, because when you first entered the room, I sort of thought it's going to be a big, manful effort for you after a fair old celebration last night. How are you feeling about the next couple of hours and calling the game? How's it all? How are you feeling?
I'm back on the birds of Melbourne, Jay. I'm officially done here at Gather Round.
Keen to get out.
No, let's call it for what it is. I had a good time, but it wasn't ridiculous. It wasn't like a 6 a.m. finish.
Yeah.
It was just after midnight. I had a couple of drinks, enjoyed my dinner, enjoyed my time in Adelaide. So we don't need to make this into anything it's not.
You're a bit jealous, Jay-Z, that you're not over here?
You are.
I am.
You're okay?
I need to get over next year.
We'll see if we can get you an invite over next year.
Are you going to wear the double shirt combo?
Yeah. How much wood are you actually going to chop this afternoon?
What do you mean the double shirt combo, Isaac?
Well, you got two shirts on.
The $4 Coles flanny looks good, mate.
If I could chop wood, wood.
Make sure you listen to Chew Man this afternoon, everyone. Stay tuned.
Thanks to Mark from Men's Club for my red and black check shirt, sort of an Essendon thing with a little T-shirt.
Are you dropping sponsors' names?
Underneath.
I've had enough. 21
Thomas,
seconds. Wrap it up, mate.
You've been absolutely outstanding. Isaac Smith. $1 to be the best new media performer of the year. Thank you to you, mate. Enjoy the afternoon.
Will do.
And Lee Montagna, outstanding as always, the 287 game. St Kilda, superstar. Stick with Triple M throughout all the day. We have a massive treble header coming up, starting with Gold Coast versus GWS Giants. Thanks for joining us on the Sunday Rub. Triple M rocks footy.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy. Triple M.